You know, we're going to talk about some of the other books in the Bible. And there's the wisdom and poetry books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. They were written at various different times. Psalms are a collection of prayers and hymns that are traditionally attributed to King David. And in the New Testament, we read about Jesus praying the Psalms. On the cross, he prayed the Psalm 22. All Jews prayed the Psalms, and they still do. We've got the Song of Songs, which is love poetry, and Job, which is an examination, really, of why good bad things happen to good people. There's other wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and things like that, collections of advice from father to son, and things like that. All of them are considered to be divinely inspired, and to be God speaking to us today. Because when these books were all written, all of them were written, they had human beings that had certain things in mind, but they were inspired by God. And so they have a meaning that even the writers didn't really know that was they were putting into it, because we read it today, it can still be relevant to us today and speak today because it was divinely inspired. Then we get to the books of prophecy. And if you sit down and read these from beginning to end, it's a little bit gloomy, because it's basically... Prophecy in the Bible does not mean predicting the future. The third at Belmont tomorrow is going to be won by this horse. It's not like that at all. A prophet is someone who has a mystical encounter with God. He sees the nation's sinful behavior and warns them to shape up or you'll be shipped out.
He's God's mouthpiece.
He's always saying, come back to God's ways. Darlene often says the prophet is there to comfort the people who are distressed and to distress the people who are comfortable. But a lot of these prophets spoke up to the exile saying, guys, you know, shape up or we're going to get shipped out, and during the exile as well. And so, of course, when you read those parts of the Bible, it's all, you guys are doing bad things, shape up. So it's not the most happy reading. But it helps to know when you're reading a prophet who... any individual prophet who his audience was. And they were scattered throughout the periods of Bible history. And so if you look at your timeline, if you're looking at, say, Hosea or Joel or Amos, you can find where they were, and then you could see that's the audience that they were trying to reach.
Whether it was before the exile or after the exile.
Exactly.
During the conflict.
And some of the books were written while the Jews were in exile. Telling them, keep the faith, you'll be able to go back to Jerusalem, and that sort of thing. So God's inspiration makes the words of the prophets true, just as true today as it was 3,000 years ago. Because Jerusalem is our image of King, represents our image of Christ's kingdom on earth. Something that had one meaning when it was written years ago could mean something completely different now and to us in our individual lives. So that's why we say the Scripture is a living word of God. These people were inspired by God. Their words had meaning beyond what they knew, and it speaks to us today. So then we get into the New Testament, the Gospels. They're written A.D., that is Anno Domini, after the year of our, which is the year of our Lord. A gospel is a type of book. It's a genre. It's like history, poetry, and it's like history, poetry, science, and biography, but it's not, again, a history book. Gospel means good news. There were four of them. They were written after his resurrection and ascension. As we talked about earlier, people thought he was coming right back, but after 30 or 50 years, they thought maybe we better write this out. Each gospel is a little bit different. Some of them tell some of the stories and some don't, and some tell different details. But again, it's not a matter of historical accuracy. It's a matter of what the truth is. They're not biographies of Jesus. But we learn the most about Jesus by reading about his words and deeds in the Gospels. So if you're going to start reading the Bible, read the Gospels first. After the Gospels comes Acts, or Acts of the Apostles.
Sometimes known as Luke Part 2.
Luke Part 2. Because it was written by Luke. And what it talks about is how the early church got started. Jesus has gone back up to heaven, and this is how the initial church got started and how Paul went out to the world and evangelized the world.
Remember Lego Paul?
Lego Paul. Yeah, it's a rock. And then we have the letters, the Pauline letters. Now, after... They're called Pauline because they are from Paul. Adjects of Paul. Paul didn't stay in Jerusalem with the apostles. He went out to brought the good news of Jesus to the Mediterranean world. And what he would do is he'd go to some place, he'd set up a little church in a little town, and then make sure they had a leader who ultimately evolved into a bishop, and then went off to the next town. And he left them with the leader. But then, you know, he wrote letters to these churches that he founded to give them advice or to settle arguments. Like, he'd get letters. You could see that some of the Pauline letters are obviously responses to somebody's written them a letter saying, things are going wrong here. We've got these problems or these questions. And he writes back. So when you're reading the letters, or the epistles as they're sometimes called, you're actually reading their mail.
And only one side of it.
Paul wrote most of them, but some of them that are still even today attributed to Paul, they were actually written by his followers. And then we get into the other letters, the Catholic letters, from the other apostles and disciples in the early church.
James, Peter, John, Jude.
They're not very long, but they make good reading. Again, it's apostles or people that learn from the apostles writing letters to the churches, the new churches that are scattered around the world. Finally, we get to the apocalypse, apocalyptic literature, and that's the book of Revelation. Not Revelations plural, Revelation singular. Now, a lot of people read Revelation and literalists say, oh yes, end times. If there's plagues and this and this and this, we know the world is coming to an end. Well, the Revelation was not a prediction of the future or the end of times. It was a book written at the time during the Greek occupation, putting down the Jews, the Maccabean period. And it was a book after Jesus died and went to heaven, and the church was being persecuted, the early church was being persecuted, and really the book of Revelation was full of symbols, full of code. They talk about the Whore of Babylon. They're talking about Rome, because if you've got Roman troops in town, you don't say the Whore of Rome, because you're not likely to live very long. So it was a lot of code. And it was a book meant to comfort the Christian people and have them keep the faith and encourage them to. And so they used code language. And it's also full of beautiful images, but it's very, very confusing to read code.
It's a type of literature. It's not the only example. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament is also apocalyptic literature that has symbols about a great beast with horns and different heads, which is talking about Cyrus, Antioch Epiphanes, another tyrant who was persecuting the Jews.
Right. So finally, I want to talk a little bit, just briefly, about commentaries. There are a lot of good commentaries out there which are written to help people understand the Bible. If we didn't bring ours with us, we should have. I personally like the Collegeville, but these are really great books to help you if you're going to read a book of the Bible. Most of them have a little sort of introduction as to what, if you're going to read the book of Job, they'll have a little introduction to the book of Job and talk about what different passages mean. But they will help you understand the Bible through the Catholic tradition. If you get Catholic commentaries, you get the teaching of the church in helping you to interpret the Bible. But don't let the lack of one in your house stop you from reading the Bible. Universal Church Supplies is a great place to go and get commentaries, or any public library or the parish library. So that brings us to our homework session.
Oh, there was one other thing, actually, I forgot to mention. When people wrote books in the Bible, like when Paul wrote some books, people would have, they would have followers in school. Isaiah is a good example. Because the book of Isaiah was written over the course of about
200 years.
200 years, 200 or 300 years. It couldn't have been written by one guy named Isaiah. But, and they know, because he tells, at one point he talks about one emperor, and then the next chapter is talking about a guy who lived 300 years later. So, you know it wasn't one guy. But there was a style of writing where you signed Isaiah if you were from the school of Isaiah, if you were one of his disciples. So, they aren't, just because the facts don't work out time-wise, doesn't mean that it's not all the same theme. and they were put together because they were a theme. And the same is true of some, like when they discovered that some of these letters couldn't have been written by Paul because they refer to things after Paul was dead, we still call them Pauline letters because they were apostles or disciples of Paul. They were Paul's students who would have written them.
All right. So now what we're going to do is we're going to, you've got on your table a list of questions and groups. And so I'm going to give you numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One. Okay? So, for each one of each, and you'll see here, each group's got a few readings, 4 or 5 readings. What you need to do is to, the first part is to find each passage, and help let the inquirers do this, so they can figure out how to find a passage in the Bible. Find the passage, read the passage aloud in your group, and then, thirdly, the third thing is, at the end, when we come around, we're not going to be looking for nuggets so much as we're going to ask you, what is the theme of the group of readings that your group has been given?
They're all connected.
And how do the Old Testament passages inform or relate to the New Testament passages? Because as Meg said, the Old Testament points to the New Testament. And these groupings are designed to show you how the Old Testament and the New Testament are not like separate and complete alien worlds.
Okay, the other thing on your table is called the outline of biblical periods. And these are the major stories that are listed on your timeline. And the ones in bold are the stories we heard yesterday, last week, that Kathy and I put together. And it's got the actual Bible listings, so you can take it home and look up those stories if you're interested in reading the actual biblical version instead of the simple story version we read last week. So you can take those home.
Okay.